Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Maundy Thursday meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who gives us his body and his blood, through this simple yet majestic meal, his supper, dear fellow redeemed. Those of you who know me pretty well know that I forget things pretty easily. And that kind of bothers me. It bothers me in many areas of my life that I don't have very good memory. One of the areas that bothers me is the one we see in our text this evening. Not remembering where I received gifts. I'll go through my house and I'll see pictures on the wall, knickknacks in my office or in our house, or ties I wear. And I wonder, where did we get those from? And then we usually say, oh, don't remember? We got them from so-and-so. And jog my memory, and I sometimes remember where I received them. Now, you don't need to receive gifts to remember loved ones. But it is a good reminder of those loved ones. When you look at a gift, remember from whom those gifts came. It's also a good reminder because it jogs our memories to remember them and the blessings that you had with those friends. We all need reminders. Well, in order for us not to forget Jesus, but to remember who he is and what he has done for us, Jesus gave us a great gift. A gift to remember him by. This evening, we are in the upper room with his disciples, and we hear Jesus say to us, Do this in remembrance of me. When our loved ones die, very often we receive some of their possessions, and we associate those possessions with that loved one. Well, Jesus did the same thing here. He's about to sacrifice himself on the cross for his disciples and for all of us, and so he gives them and us a gift. He says, Do this in remembrance of me. What is the this? Now, this is the eating of bread and the drinking of wine. Jesus is not reminding his disciples of good times they had in the past. He's pointing ahead to what he's going to do for them in the future. And Jesus called the bread his body, and he called the wine his blood. How would bread and wine symbolize his body and blood? Well, they wouldn't. If Jesus was going to use anything to symbolize himself, his body and blood, the most obvious example would be a lamb. But he didn't. Jesus chose unleavened bread and wine. There were two of the ingredients that were there on the table before him during that Passover meal. But of course, the most important essential ingredient was the lamb. The lamb on that Passover was symbolical of the lambs that were slain some 1,500 years earlier throughout the land of Egypt where the Israelites lived. You might remember God had told them to choose a one-year-old male lamb, a perfect specimen of a lamb, to kill that lamb without breaking any bones, and take the blood of that lamb and spread it all over the door frames, because that night God passed over the homes with the blood of the lamb, and they were set free from captivity in Egypt. Well, Jesus is that Lamb of God who 1,500 years later came to spread his blood, not on a doorpost, but on a cross, to set us free from the slavery to sin, death, Satan, and hell. So the sacrificed lamb would have been a far better choice for Jesus to use to symbolize his body and blood. But he didn't. He chose bread and wine. Again, why? Well, it was unleavened bread. In the Old Testament, yeast was a picture of sin because it spreads through everything. And so unleavened bread was prepared for the Passover to symbolize no sinfulness, no yeast in the bread. Picture of Jesus' body, perfect without sin. And perhaps the pouring or shedding of his blood would be an example of pouring the wine into the cup. God doesn't tell us exactly why Jesus chose the bread and the wine, but he does tell us what they are. Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus put his body and blood into Holy Communion. Now, that doesn't mean that the bread and wine disappear or are gone or they're not there. They're still there. But Jesus' embodied blood is that great gift that God is giving to us. It's ours when we do this in remembrance of him. In other words, the body and blood of Christ is not there on the altar right now. That's just unleavened bread and wine. But as we come to receive that bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ is in with and under that bread and wine for us to eat and to drink. And when we're done, we go home. What's left on the altar? Unleavened bread and wine. Jesus gave that gift to us. Paul said that in our text. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." When did the Apostle Paul receive the Lord's Supper from the Lord? He wasn't there Monday, Thursday night with the disciples. In fact, he wasn't even a believer at that time. If Paul was there in Jerusalem at the time, he probably was hoping that they would kill Jesus because he hated Christ. But you remember. Remember when Paul was on his way from Jerusalem to Damascus to arrest those Jewish Christians, and Christ appeared to him in the sky? The Holy Spirit created faith in Paul's heart, and we're told that Paul was then led into the wilderness where Jesus himself instructed him for 3 years. No doubt during that time, the Lord Jesus told him what happened on that Monday, Thursday evening, and all about the Lord's Supper, and commanded that he make known this to the churches that he established and founded, so that the Lord's Supper would be celebrated throughout Christianity. And so in our celebration this night, tonight, we celebrate the Lord's death. We remember his crucifixion. We'll proclaim that God became man, that God the Son took upon himself a human body and soul through that miraculous conception and lived a perfect life of obedient service to his Father, and then went to the cross to suffer and die to pay for the guilt of all of my sins and all of your sins and the sins of the whole world, then rose from the dead to assure us a full and free forgiveness. That life, that death, and that resurrection, it's all there in that supper, as a gift to you and to me. And Christians will eat of that bread and drink of that cup in remembrance of Christ until he comes again. And so this evening, as we are coming to the Lord's Supper, we're proclaiming to the whole world that we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that he gave us his body and blood on the cross, and he gives us his body and blood through this bread and wine for the assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins. The past 5 or 6 weeks, we've been in confirmation with Jonathan, have been studying this, the Lord's Supper. We call that teaching the real presence. Right, Jonathan? Real presence. Because his body and blood is really present in with and under the bread and the wine. Now, for 43 years, I've not been able to explain that. But you and I believe that. And I've taught that for 43 years because it is what Jesus tells us. This is indeed a treasure, a gift that we should hold high. And so our theme this evening is, do this in remembrance of me. Part one, communion is a real presence remembrance. But the Lord's Supper is more than just something by which to remember Jesus. It's the visible preaching of the gospel. It's his real body and blood of Christ in and with the bread and wine for us to eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. But what if someone abuses this great gift? Well, that was happening. It was happening in the congregation in Corinth. What was happening was some of the members in their agape meal before they took the Lord's Supper were getting drunk. And they were also mistreating some of the poor that then would come to the Lord's Supper. So the Apostle Paul had to set them straight, and he wrote these words, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Do those words send shivers up and down your spine? If you eat of it or drink of it in an unworthy manner, you're guilty of Christ's body and blood? What does he mean by being unworthy? We all know that sin makes me and you and all of us unworthy. We're all unworthy because of our sins. But Jesus has forgiven us our sins. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus paid for the guilt of all of our sins. So our sins don't make us unworthy. What makes us unworthy is unbelief. What makes us worthy is faith in Jesus. If we trust in Jesus and believe the promises he gives us in this Lord's Supper, then we are worthy. That is, we're well prepared. If we don't trust in Jesus and don't believe the promises Jesus gives us in the Lord's Supper, then we're unworthy. That is, we are not prepared. That means an unbeliever cannot be a worthy communicant. He doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. It also means that a Christian who does not repent of his sins is also an unworthy communicant. For if you don't confess your sins and repent of your sins, then you don't have that saving faith in Jesus, and therefore you're not prepared for the Lord's Supper. That's why that drunkenness of those congregation members and that lovelessness that they exhibited toward the poor was so very wrong. But there's another way that we can be unworthy in the Lord's Supper. Paul continues, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." If you do not recognize the body and blood of Jesus Christ in with and under the bread and wine, if you don't receive, you don't believe in a real presence, then you're not receiving the blessings that Jesus wants you to receive. We see Jesus is in this sacrament, whether we believe it or not. When we receive Jesus' body and blood, we receive to eat and drink, whether we're repentant or not repentant. So if you receive this sacrament without faith, without repentance, then it's to your judgment. not to your good. It's to death, not to life. That's not only with the Lord's Supper. If I proclaim the forgiveness of sins to someone and they reject that and don't believe that, then that's also to their harm, to their judgment, not to their life. That's why preparing for the Lord's Supper is so very essential. It's also why we practice, as you know, it's in our bulletin every time we have communion, close communion. We only admit those who are able to examine themselves. Paul writes, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Again, these past couple months, we've been talking in our Bible class, Jonathan, and telling him how he can examine himself. And there are four essential questions you need to ask yourself before you come to Lord's Supper. Very basic, but very essential. Am I a sinner? Am I sorry for my sins? Do I believe that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life for me, died upon the cross to pay for my sins, and rose again to assure me of the forgiveness of my sins? And fourthly, do I believe that Jesus Christ, his body and blood, is present in and with bread and wine for me to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of my sins? Answer yes to all four of those, and you are worthy, that is, a well-prepared communicant. Jesus gave his Lord's Supper to comfort us and also to put down the accusations of Satan and our guilty conscience. That's what it means to do this in remembrance of him, to do this remembering that we have been forgiven. All our sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. They're remembered no more. It means hearing Jesus say to you personally and individually, "Here, this is my body for you. This is the covenant, the new covenant in my blood for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins." Do this in remembrance of me. Our second point, communion is a gospel remembrance. Jesus put his body and blood in the bread and wine. Who would have ever thought that he would do that? And yet he did. Wouldn't it be sad if we didn't treasure this gift and come regularly and consistently to partake of that precious body and blood of our Savior? For the assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins. It would be really sad if we ever forgot what Jesus said. It'd be really sad if we didn't trust what Jesus did for us. It'd be terribly sad if we robbed ourselves of the blessings by not preparing our hearts when we come to the Lord's Supper. This is a great treasure, a great blessing for each of us. But it's not like the treasures or the gifts that we receive from people on this earth that we sometimes forget who gave it to us, or even forget where we laid it or put it. That's because the power of the Lord's Supper is in the Word, not in faulty memory or nostalgia or our emotions. The power is the shed body and blood of Christ that Jesus' words gives to us, that he shed his body and blood for you and for me and takes away all of our sins. That gives every single one of us peace. No matter how unfaithful we may have been in the past. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.